have a little something I'd like to share with you this afternoon. I want to tell you about a man you probably really never thought or cared that you wanted to know that much about him. But I want to tell you about him anyway. I want to tell you about a man named Joseph Carey Merrick. He was born August the 5th, 1862. And he died on April the 11th, 1890. Was 27 years old. He was an Englishman who became known as the Elephant Man because of his physical appearance caused by a congenital disorder. In other words, he was born with this disorder. Because of this condition, he received the sympathy of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. He was born to Mary Jane Potterton and Joseph Rockley Merrick. He was the eldest of three children with a younger brother and sister. His deformity began developing at the age of three, with small bumps appearing on the left side of his body. His mother died when he was 12 years old. According to family accounts, she was physically disabled as well. His father remarried, but his stepmother did not want him. He was obliged to earn a living by selling goods on the street. He was constantly harassed by local children. Unable to bring home a profit and tired of fighting with his stepmother, he left home. Twice he ended up in the workhouse. He was unemployable for most of his life. On August the 29th, 1884, he took a job as a sideshow performer, freak show, where he was treated decently and earned a considerable sum of money. When sideshows were outlawed in the United Kingdom in 1886, he traveled to Belgium to find work. There he was mistreated and ultimately abandoned by a showman who stole his savings of 50 lire, worth approximately 3,900 lire in our day. He suffered from a severe bronchial infection, barely able to speak intelligibly. A physician, Frederick Trevis, befriended him and took him to the London hospital. The doctor arranged for him to be given permanent quarters there. He was cared for at the hospital until his death at the age of 27 on April 11, 1890. Mr. Merrick was unable to sleep, reclining like you and I, due to the weight of his head. Apparently, he died from the accidental dislocation of his neck due to its inability to support the weight of his massive head in sleep. They believe he may have reclined in rest to attempt to imitate normal behavior. This man's name was Joseph Carey Merrick. And I read you a little bit about him and his life. He was a grotesque looking creature, but yet he was human. He had a heart. He had feelings. When people said things and did things that hurt him, he hurt. He hurt inside. He hurt all over. He knew he was a monster. He could see the mirrors, see himself in the mirrors, and he knew he wasn't pleasant to look at. But you know, he didn't have anything to do with his deformity. He was born with this congenital disease in his body to begin to develop as he grew in age. And he was actually a monstrous-looking person. I want us to consider this afternoon and try not to be too long here. But every one of us want to be loved. Every one of us want people to like us. Every one of us like the feeling of belonging, the feeling of acceptance. And that's what I want to really speak of this afternoon, is accepted. Being accepted is important to you. It's important to me. Suppose I was in a congregation where I really wasn't accepted. I could see people whispering and talking about me when I came walking in the door. Supposing I was in a family that I wasn't accepted. You know, I've got a sister, and I've said this many times, and she knows it. She's 85 years old now, almost 86. She's been a real clown in our family. She's done some pretty silly, ridiculous things, and she knows it. But yet, I love her. She's my sister. She's accepted in the family. She's important to us. Don't you like being important to God? Don't you like to feel like that God has accepted you for who you are and what you are? Poor Joseph, we don't any of us have any say-so in what we look like. It hasn't got to do with what we physically look like, does it? It has to do when it comes to God and loving each other. It has to do with the love that we feel in our hearts. It comes from the heart. It comes from deep within. It's not superficial, but it's down deep. And we really want to be accepted. We want to be loved. This man wanted to be loved too, but because of his grotesque features and children were making fun of him and people were rejecting him. Can you imagine trying to make money working in a sideshow, being a freak? People paying to come in and look at you because you don't look normal? That's the way the man made a lot of money, and then another fellow comes along and stole it all from him. No doubt he died penniless. No doubt he died in sorrow. He probably felt all alone in the world. Who wants to feel all alone? We can't even imagine, can we, what that may be like to feel all alone in this world. But you know, we have a Savior. We have a Lord. We have a God that loves each and every one of us. He loves you. Doesn't matter, as I said, what you look like. Doesn't matter, really, your idiosyncrasies that you may have to cause you to do things that you do. He loves us. He loved us so much He gave His Son, and His Son gave His life for each and every one of us. Let's look at a scripture found in the 10th chapter of Acts. 10th chapter of the book of Acts. I want to talk about being accepted. He said here in Acts 10 and 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." He's no respecter of persons. "But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him." Isn't that wonderful, folks? "In every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. Among all people..." It doesn't depend on our status in life. It doesn't depend whether we're rich or whether we're poor or whatever color we are or whatever ethnic background we may have. It doesn't depend on those kind of things. "Of all nations, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted." To be accepted by God depends on the state or the condition of my heart. To be accepted as His child. Yes. To be accepted in His kingdom. Even sinners, the Bible tells that even when we were sinners, He loved us. And He died for us. But to be accepted, to belong to Him, to be a part of Him, we've got to have the Spirit of His Son. We've got to be born again to be accepted. You know, I've heard people say that I went forward in the church where I attend, and I accepted the Lord as my Lord and Savior. And you know, I told one of them one time, I said, you know, that's good that you've accepted the Lord, but I said, has He accepted you? It's important to be accepted by Him. You know, I can claim a lot of things. I can claim someone's my friend, and they may not like me at all. But has the Lord accepted us? And we want to be accepted, don't we? When we're accepted, we can take our burdens to Him. We can offer prayer, and He will hear our prayers. His heart will be melted with love. We have not a great high priest that can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. We have someone that cares. He's touched when we call upon Him. He said, He that feareth Him and worketh righteousness, He that honors Him and keeps the law, a true worshiper according to the light and privilege that he has, He that feareth Him, He that worketh righteousness, that he does what is just and right. You know, that refers also to our conduct toward our fellow man. Our conduct toward our fellow man. Do you know that your relationship that you have, your personal relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, will depend a lot on how you on your relationships with your fellow man. You can't say, Paul, what was it? James tells us, how can you say you love your brother, you hate your brother, and you love whom you've seen and hate Christ whom you've not seen? Folks, we got to love one another. We got to accept one another. We got to accept what God accepts. And the Scripture says there's no respecter of persons with God, and there shouldn't be with us either, should there? There shouldn't be any respect of persons with us. Your relationship will depend on with Christ will depend on a proper relationship that you have with your fellow man. Remember that. You've got to have a good relationship with Christ. You know, we get ideas in our minds. We get thoughts in our heads. We even read the Scriptures and we see it one way and someone else sees it another way. And Peter, to me, is a good classic example that he had it in his mind, you know, that Jesus came and the gospel was for the Jews and he hadn't learned about the Gentile part of it yet. But God taught him something, didn't he, when he sent the sheep down and told him to rise and eat, kill and eat. The Lord taught him something. Christ is interested in every one of us. Every one of us, no matter who we are. God was interested in Joseph Merrick. He might have been a hideous looking creature to most people, but he had a heart and he had a soul. And God was interested in him. People might not have accepted him, but God wasn't interested in how he looked. He was interested in his heart. And He's interested in yours and my heart too. He wants you and I to get rid of our preconceived thoughts and ideas and don't let them get in the way of how we get along with one another. Don't let them get in the way of that. Now let's look at another scripture. It's found in Ephesians. Ephesians, the first chapter, the third verse. I'll try to move along here. I know people are tired and weary. Blessed be the God. First, Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He's chosen us now. In Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Some people like to take that scripture and talk about predestination, folks. Jesus died for everybody. He died for everybody, but everybody has a choice in who they choose and what they choose in life. He said, to the praise, verse 6, of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, what? Accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted because of Christ today. We're accepted because of His sacrifice, because of His love, because of the blood that He shed for you and I. We're accepted today, and we're accepted in the Beloved. And I'm so grateful for that today. Those that are endeavoring to live for Jesus are chosen vessels. We're chosen unto the Lord, and we're accepted in the Beloved. The love of God dwelling in the heart of a man makes everything equal in His sight. When He looks down in your heart, my heart, and He sees the love of God, He sees the Spirit of His Son dwelling there, folks, it makes every one of us equal. There's no respecter of persons. We're all equal in His sight. And I'm so grateful with that today. With Mr. Merrick, he wasn't able to choose what he looked like in life. You're not able to choose either. We aren't either. But folks, God's love for all of His creation gives everyone the privilege to be chosen in Him. Doesn't it mean something to you this afternoon to be accepted in the Beloved? To know that you're His and He is yours, and that you're walking hand in Him, that you have fellowship with Him, to know Him as a personal Savior, as a friend, as a comforter, as a guide through this dark world that we live in, as a healer, as a Savior, everything. He's everything to us, isn't He? To be accepted, to belong to Him. Who you belong to? I belong to Jesus. He's my friend. He's my helper. He's the one that helps guide me through this whole world that I live in. Accepted in the Beloved. It's a privilege this afternoon to be a child of God. It's the highest calling in the land, in the world, to be a child of God. It's a privilege. And we can only be children of God because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary. For you and I, I'm so thankful. He knew that. He was willing to go all the way that we could enjoy the wonderful blessings that we enjoy this afternoon. It's what creates in our hearts when His Spirit is within us. It's what it creates in our hearts a genuine love for the truth. Not just for any old thing that's going around, but a genuine love for the truth. A genuine desire to want to please Him, to want to honor Him. Lord, I don't want to do anything that would grieve You in any way. Because it's a privilege to be a child of God. It's our calling. Something that I'm not worthy of, except through the blood of Jesus that He shed for me. Let's look at 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Even our worship that we give to the Lord is acceptable through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the one that made all things possible for you and I to know God. To know and understand God. To have God in our hearts. He's the one that made all things possible. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You don't have anything to give God. This old flesh has nothing to give God, folks. The only thing we have to offer up to God is what He give us. Is the Spirit that He give us. The infilling of the Spirit of Christ that we can in turn turn and go and turn back to God and worship and praise Him. You know, love Love, it seems like it's a one-way street so many times anymore. You love people and they don't love you back. Folks, God loves you and He wants you to prove your love to Him by your worship, by the life that you live, by the way you honor Him, by the way you conduct yourself. We give that love back. It's reciprocal, isn't it? He loves me. I want Him to know that I love Him. I love Him to the point where I'm not willing to do anything that would damage our relationship, that would hinder my fellowship with the Lord. I don't want to do anything, Lord, but I want to be very careful. It's a careful way. It is a careful way. Jesus said it's a straight way. It's a narrow way. It's narrow and it's difficult, but we can do it. God didn't tell us to do anything that He wouldn't give us the grace to do it, folks. We can do it by the help of the Lord. And He said here, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. I thank the Lord that we can actually worship Him in spirit and in truth. Look at verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, been accepted now, and which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, thank God for mercy this afternoon. The Lord has something for every one of us to do. And if you can't think of anything to do for the Lord, I want to challenge you to do this. Be faithful. Be faithful. This talk about being discouraged and wanting to give up and all those kind of things. Be faithful, saints. Sure, you're going to be challenged. The world's a challenging place. And the devil has discouraging thoughts. And a battle gets hot sometimes, doesn't it? It gets over hot, overheated sometimes. Be faithful. You're a chosen generation. You know, we don't get to choose our family. We don't get to choose what we look like. There's a lot of things we don't get to choose. But God chose us. God chose us. And we're a chosen generation. And He has something for us to do. Didn't He make choice of His people, Israel? In all the nations back there in the Old Testament time, Israel was His people. It wasn't because they were the greatest. It wasn't because they were the largest number, the Bible says. But they were God's people because He made a promise to Abraham. Thank God for Abraham. The Pharisees thought that he was their father. I'm glad Jesus is our Father today. Jesus is the one that we look to. God makes choice of His people. And folks, He uses individuals to accomplish His purpose. He's not coming back after congregations. He's not coming back after Church of God. He's coming back after individuals. It's my heart, the condition of my heart. It's what I accept and believe to be truth and what I don't accept and believe to be truth. I don't want to believe a lie and be damned, as the Scripture says. But I want to believe the truth and I want to love it with all my heart. He's coming back after individuals, folks. And He has work for individuals to do. Sometimes I get tired and get weary. On this trip that we just took, I was so tired and weary. I wasn't even able to do very much of the driving, but the Lord took care of that too. He provided for that. Folks, I want to be accepted. And if I get out of His will, knowing, you know, it's like I've said, to simplify it, you know what to do? Do what you know you're supposed to do. And you'll be accepted. You'll be accepted. I'm talking to educated people here. I'm talking to people that know what the Word says. You know what to do. Do what you know you're supposed to do. You want to be accepted? There's no respecter of persons with God. It don't matter where you live, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're pretty or whether you're ugly. It doesn't matter any of those things to God. It's a condition of my heart, isn't it? Condition of my heart. Oh, I want to love Him more, folks. I want to serve Him better. He made choice. He made choice through Abraham. He made choice through His people back in those days. He made choice of Jacob and Esau, didn't He? He said, Jacob, Esau have I hated. Love less is what that means. But Jacob have I loved. He made choice of Judah too, didn't He? Of all the boys who was the patriarch? Jake, that Israel had. Of all the boys that Israel had. He made choice of the 12 tribes of Israel out of Judah. There came a lion. He was a lion's whelp, wasn't He? Out of Judah He brought forth Jesus Christ. Jesus came out of the lion. He was the lion. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ. God makes choice, folks. And He's got something for every one of us. He's made choice for every one of us. You're chosen. You want to be accepted? Yes, we want to be accepted. We're accepted where? In the Beloved. Oh, folks, that's so precious to me. So many discouraging things out there in the world today. Families disappoint. Children doing things that they shouldn't be doing. The devil getting involved in all kinds of things. Getting involved in government. Getting involved in all kinds of things today. But folks, isn't it wonderful to have that relationship where you know you're accepted by Jesus Christ because of your fellowship and your relationship that you have with Him, and you're doing what you know you're supposed to do. Lord, help us today. You know, I want to bring in a word here that's important. And the word is an anointing. We must live in a way that God will put His anointing upon our life. Anointing is His approval. It makes us know when He anoints us and blesses us, it makes us know that we are accepted. Anointing is so important. Because anointing is the Spirit of God upon us, working with us, blessing us, teaching us, leading us, guiding us. We need His anointing today. And I could probably preach a message or two on anointing and won't go there. But we need His anointing, folks. That's His approval. That's His favor. And I don't want to be without it. Neither do you. We don't want to be without it, folks. We need to know. We want to know that we're accepted of God. People may not accept us. The Lord told us in His Word. He said, the world will hate you because it hated Me. That's all right. As long as I'm accepted in the Beloved. As long as I know the Lord is accepting me. That's where I am today. That's where I live. You don't have to treat me right to make me happy. You don't have to do anything to try to please me and make me happy as long as I know that my relationship with God is intact and that I have that fellowship in my heart. I want us to get along. I want us to try to make each other happy, but He's the one that makes me happy. He's the one that gives me the peace. He's my joy in the Lord this afternoon. He's my joy in the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. You know, people are so fickle, we can hear something about someone. We can just hear something about someone and make up our mind about them. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He's always looking on the heart. Always looking on the motive. Always looking on the intent. He's always checking out, if I can put it in my words, what makes people tick. Why they're doing what they're doing. He's looking on the heart. Jesus came to make this a condition of the heart, didn't He? Many are called. Few are chosen. Folks, the call is universal. The call goes out to everyone. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The call is universal, folks. The chosen is whosoever will. Whosoever will can freely come to God, the song says. Whosoever will. Every one of us want to be accepted this afternoon. But in order to do that, the Scripture tells us we must meet His conditions. Not ours, but His conditions. Just meet His conditions. To be accepted, to work, fear Him, walk in righteousness, work righteousness in your life. Even when others are, even when others have lost their integrity, their honesty, those kind of things, keep your integrity, keep your honesty. Do what you know you're supposed to do, even when no one else is looking. Because God's always looking, isn't He? He's always looking. I want to be accepted, and I know you do too. God told Cain, after he rose up and killed his brother Abel, He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? That's what He told Cain all the way back in that day. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? Lord, help us to be accepted by God. The Lord, the Scripture in Romans 12 and 1, we know what it says. Present your bodies. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. How's it going to be acceptable unto God? I'm going to have to do it His way. I'm going to have to meet on His terms. His conditions. He set down the terms, folks. We can fight and kick against the prick like Saul did, Paul. We can fight it all we want. But when we present ourselves before God, a living sacrifice, we must be acceptable unto Him. If you want to be acceptable, you got to do it His way. Which is your reasonable service. Just reasonable, isn't it? God doesn't require more than you and I can give. When He tells us to be thou perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, He wants you to have a perfect love. He wants you to have a perfect heart towards God. You'll be accepted. You belong to Him. He'll take care of you. That's what, you know, when you're accepted of the Lord, He'll take care of you. He'll help you in your time of need. He'll help you in your struggles. Boy, we really need Him in those times, don't we? We need Him all the time, folks. We need Him all the time. Accepted in the Beloved. Let's look at another Scripture. I'm trying to move along here. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the 9th verse. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, Paul here, in my mind, implies there's some laboring here. There's some working that we have to do. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to take our stand against the enemy of our souls. We've got to put on the whole armor of God that we can do that. There's things that we can do, things that we must do in order to be accepted of the Lord. We labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. Oh, folks, you know, there's always that before every one of us, and that is a reckoning day. There's a reckoning day awaiting each and every one of us to give an account of the deeds that we've done in this body, Paul said, whether they be good or whether they be evil or bad. But oh, to be accepted, to be loved. Someone that you love, maybe someone in your family that you haven't seen for a while, and when you meet them, you hug each other. Doesn't it feel so good? It feels so good to hug someone that you love. You know, I've prayed many a time, especially for the elderly that I pray with, Lord, take them in your arms and hug them. Put your arms around them and love them. Help them to know that you're there for them. Help them to feel accepted. Help them to feel your presence. Oh, that's what we want so bad, is to feel the presence of the Lord. I'm going to quote this last one, Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Why not? Jesus told the disciples, on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, didn't he? We've received this kingdom in our hearts, folks. We've been accepted in the Beloved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I thank the Lord this afternoon. Even in the midst of all of this world, wickedness, evil, sin that we live in the midst of it all, folks, we can be accepted. By the Creator. Can you imagine that? The one that created it all. We can talk to Him, pray to Him, and be accepted by Him. And He's preordained that for every one of us. It was preordained that Christ would come and die. From the beginning of the world, the Scripture says, that you and I could be accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Lord. And I want us this afternoon to be encouraged, to be blessed in all of your day-to-day trials and hard, difficult things that you face. Just think about what it means to be accepted. Not that you've accepted Him so much, and we must do that, but that He's accepted us. Into His arms of love. Into His kingdom. Into His fold. And we got someone to help fight for us. You know, we're fighting every day, but we're fighting from victory, aren't we? He's promised us these things. We've got so many promises. You want to turn to your songbook and page 454.